first, President Trump was acquitted on two articles of impeachment in the U.S. Senate last week. The two articles, abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, were decided on by members of the House of Representatives. Democrats have a majority there. In the impeachment process, the Senate acts as the jury and votes on the outcome. Republicans had a majority in the Senate. The House's decision to send those articles over, party line vote for the most part, same in the Senate to acquit the president. Our next guest points out that the role of parties in impeachment wasn't a factor when the founders established the process. In fact, the role of parties wasn't a factor in anything at that point. And he says the two-party system and impeachment are not two great tastes that taste great together. Jacob Levy is the Tomlinson Professor of Political Theory at McGill University. Jacob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, let's go back to when we started this country. The two-party system as we know it today didn't exist, right? And there was no real concept that we were going to end up there. Can you talk about that a little?
That's right. At the time of the American founding, the founders didn't believe that there would be, should be, or could be permanent parties in a functioning democratic republic. They really feared the growth of permanent factions that would compete for election. They had no good precedent for what they were doing. The United States was the largest democratic republic that had ever been created, and it governed a more pluralistic, more complicated society than had ever been attempted with democratic republican forms of government. So they didn't know what it was going to look like. But in the grip of old political ideas about unity and saying the way that the people can govern is if the people all stand together in their pursuit of the common good. In the grip of those kinds of theories, they thought the government will be stable just to the degree that it's unified in that way. That's not how it turned out. We grew a party system against their intentions, even against the intentions of the people who brought it into being. In the 1790s, the early Federalists and the early Democratic Republicans, the Hamilton-Adams Party and the Jefferson-Madison Party, each of them thought, we are only forming a party as an emergency response to the fact that those other people are creating a faction. So without meaning to, they put the institutions and the distinctions in place that we now actually know we need in order to govern a large democratic republic in a pluralistic, complicated setting.
Yeah, you had a Twitter thread recently that caught our eye here on impeachment and the two-party system. And we'll get to the impeachment part in just a minute. But you write, the two-party system sometimes gets a bad rap today. But you say, in effect, we kind of needed it to function as a fledgling republic. Why is that?
The idea of governing a democratic republic without parties requires voters who have not just virtue and public spiritedness, but so much information that they can correctly judge a whole range of policies, a whole range of positions, and a wide range of pieces of information about the character of the people that they're choosing to govern. There's simply too much information. What parties do is they create an ongoing organization, an institution that has an incentive to monitor and contain the people who are running for office, because they don't want to destroy the party's name, the party's reputation, by having one really disastrous senator, representative, governor, president. And they offer the voters a shorthand that the voters can manage and make sense of. You know roughly what you're getting if you vote for a Democrat or a Republican in a way that doesn't require you to learn tens of thousands of things about hundreds of candidates for positions and policies that are too complicated for you to wrap your head around. So parties give us an institution for accountability. They let us have an ongoing opposition party that can help illustrate and bring to light problems in the incumbent party. And they allow for accountability within the governing party, because if a governor, if a president is getting out of line, the party has a reason to generally hem them back in. What political science has learned over the last 200 years is that under conditions anything like what we encounter in the modern world, you can't have democratic government in a large society without parties.
We're talking to Jacob Levy from McGill University, looking at the two-party system and how it plays into impeachment in the United States. And Jacob, let's turn to the impeachment side of things now. The founders created this system of, again, that word, accountability for the president. They didn't want a king or a, you know, an elected king, I guess. So they had this idea, hey, Congress, the legislative branch, can impeach them. Would that have worked better without the two-party system? Did that make sense as the founders were looking forward?
It made sense in the vision they had of the separation of powers, which was that the key distinction wasn't going to be between one side and another in elections, but between the legislative branch and the executive. They thought the legislature as a whole would always have a kind of institutional reason to be keeping its eye on the executive. And so the legislature would be the appropriate body to be able to hold the executive in check. There was some sentiment in the Constitutional Convention for having Congress simply choose the president. It was thought that that violated the separation of powers too much, and you wanted a president who had some independent base of support in the electorate. But it was still taken for granted that Congress as a whole, acting together, would provide a check on lawlessness, on foreign interference, on corruption, on abuse of power in the executive. And that in the event of abuse of power, of course, Congress would be able to come together and exercise this power to hold the president in check. And that the Senate threshold in particular of two-thirds really does require that you can imagine a Congress acting with two-thirds majorities on big contested questions. That's not something that we can really make sense of in a partisan world.
Yeah, that gets to the heart of things, impeachment and the two-party system. Where do those not work well together as you see it?
No president has ever been removed by impeachment, though Andrew Johnson, at a minimum, clearly should have been. And there's perfectly good reason to think that President Trump should have been. Until Mitt Romney, no senator had ever voted to remove a president of his own party at the end of an impeachment trial. There have been federal judges impeached, and the process is the same, but judges aren't partisan. Once we have parties, the impeachment process for presidents, however, looks very much like the opposition party seeking to limit a president just because he's their opponent, and the governing party, the majority party, the president's party, acting to defend him, no matter what. That's what we saw in the Johnson trial. It's what we saw in the Clinton trial. There's a kind of exception for what was probably going to happen with Richard Nixon. But not only was the American party system very weak at that point, but the Republican Party in Congress was very weak at that point. So the only time we came close to impeachment working to remove a president, you had Democratic majorities in both houses and a Republican Party that was really very disorganized and incapable of mustering very much of a defense. What we're going to see going forward, in light of the inability to impeach Trump, even in the face of very considerable evidence, in the face of ongoing investigations, even well before the Ukraine investigation, what we're going to see going forward is that the executive is now significantly unconstrained. As long as the president has the support of one-third of the Senate, as long as there are 34 senators of the president's own party, the president can get away with more or less anything under the current system.
We're talking to Jacob Levy, Tomlinson Professor of Political Theory at McGill University. He's with us to talk about impeachment and how it does, or in many cases does not, function under our two-party system here in the U.S. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Our guest says the impeachment process and our two-party system don't function well together. Do you agree? If so, what should change? Do we need a different way to limit the actions of the American president? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about the U.S. two-party system and how impeachment does or maybe doesn't work within that political structure. Jacob Levy is with us from McGill University, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about impeachment, how it operates under the current two-party system? Do you think it is a process that ultimately holds presidents accountable? Should we rethink it, replace it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jacob, before we bring our callers on, is there another way to hold the executive branch presidents accountable short of impeachment? If not, do we need one?
We certainly do need one. The rule right now that says sitting presidents can't be indicted for crimes is not written into the Constitution. It's a Department of Justice opinion and holding. It currently has effective force of law, but that could be changed. That would provide at least some possible opening for more genuine accountability. Failing that, there needs to be a significant increase in congressional investigatory powers, including the ability to subpoena with much reduced capacity for the executive to refuse subpoenas for witnesses and for documents. But to the degree that we now have a system where the president can't be impeached, the president can't be indicted, and law enforcement officials aren't even really allowed to conduct investigations that would come close to the presidency, you've set up a system for presidential impunity. Other democratic systems, other constitutional democracies, if they have parliamentary systems, they can remove the executive by the parliamentary caucus of the party. That is to say, the equivalent of the Republicans in Congress would be able to take Trump out of power and put some new executive, some new prime minister in that system into power. In a presidential system under the American Constitution, there's no way to do that. So we need to have some capacity to get personal legal liability onto the table.
Let's bring on a call.
If impeachment can't be salvaged.
Let's bring a caller on now. Andrew is with us in Waukesha. Andrew, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. My comment doesn't have to do with impeachment as a way to check the presidency, but rather the presidential debates that happen every 4 years. Now, you know, you made the claim that the party system allows for more nuance, better than the citizens can provide, and yet the Presidential Debate Commission limits the debate to just the two major parties, and in that sense, wholly simplifies the process of us being able to check the president by voting for the president that we feel expresses the most nuance and most detail.
Andrew, thanks for the call. I don't want to focus too closely on the debates, but is there something about the magic number two, Jacob, if our system worked such that there could be viable alternative parties, would that somehow help have more of a check on the executive branch?
It probably wouldn't. Presidentialism tends toward two-party systems. The United States has an unusually intense two-party system. Most other constitutional democracies have at least a few regional parties or at least a few other parties that are represented in the national legislature, but they don't significantly affect the balance of power between the executive and the legislature. Reforms that would affect the structure of the party system could change who it is who gets elected. But I would say regardless of what happens with who gets elected, so long as you have a system that structurally looks like the American system between a president and Congress, you're going to need restraints on the office of the presidency.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. We'll go now to Roger in Eagle River. Roger, hello.
I guess Andrew hit my subject pretty well in a way there. You know, every 4 years we got a chance to select a new president. And I guess my only thought is, you know, right now, unfortunately, the influence that lobbyists and that have on the Senate and the Congress, you know, I can't help but think that this whole happening here is just to distract the public from the fact that, you know, they're unwilling to do anything about, you know, healthcare reform and just a distraction. And, you know, at least we, you know, with a president with power, we are going some direction. And if the people don't like the direction we're going, in 4 years, they got a chance to change that direction.
Roger, thanks for the call. So a strong president can break through some of the maybe gridlock, some of the political influence out there, and we do have recourse to remove from them from office after 4 years, Jacob.
The charge against President Trump in his recent impeachment was that he was soliciting foreign interference in the upcoming election. How can the use of the ballot box be a sure restraint on a president if the president has impunity to commit crimes against election law, to solicit foreign interference, to encourage foreign powers to hack the email accounts of his opponents, to commit vote fraud is the stage that we're increasingly getting close to. If the FEC is shut off from its ability to function because the president refuses to put people onto the FEC, if the president can't be impeached for committing crimes against election law, if the president can't be indicted for committing crimes against election law, then you don't have any recourse within the system to ensure that the election will be conducted freely and fairly.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Jimmy now in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hello.
Hello. I would say that Congress needs to go to work and enact laws that describe the impeachment process in more detail, and maybe give the Supreme Court Chief Justice more of an adjudicatory role, and get more detailed on what a high crime and misdemeanor is, and so that when it does happen, they can't the senators in this case and the House or the Senate side can't just say, well, what, you know, we don't think it reached the high crime and misdemeanor threshold. You'd have more detail on what actually occurred, kind of like you do in criminal law.
Jimmy, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Jacob, Jimmy wants to get over some of the vagueness of impeachment, lay out some more black and white lines from Congress that presidents shouldn't cross.
That vagueness was there partly because abuse of power is going to cover lots of different possibilities. When the United States was founded, the fear of foreign interference was that powerful overseas countries would be using their force, their influence, to try to subvert the United States. No one would have known to lay out the fact pattern for the superpower United States leaning on a much weaker foreign government to invent or fabricate investigatory material against a domestic political opponent. High crimes and misdemeanors was not a statement of a criminal legal standard. And every constitutional law scholar, except for Alan Dershowitz, when he's acting in his capacity as President Trump's attorney, has agreed on this for a very long time. It's meant to cover a wide range of things, up to and including obstruction of investigations into the presidency. That is obstruction of justice, obstruction of Congress. Those have been charges in all of the presidential impeachments up until now. There's not really a vagueness problem. The vagueness is there because the range of offenses is so large. There's no way that you can compel the president's party in the Senate to reach convictions. There's no specification that could force them to act so contrary to their interests. The institutional design just isn't well set up for it.
Jimmy, thanks for that call. We're talking to Jacob Levy from McGill University, professor of political theory there, looking at impeachment and the two-party system and how he says they don't function. The impeachment in particular doesn't function to hold presidents accountable, to rein in their powers. Jacob, it seems like this would be a tough problem to solve because either party, if they get their president elected, seems to want that president to have a lot of power. So there's no built-in desire on any side necessarily to rein that in these days, it seems like. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. In the aftermath of Watergate, there was significant legislation passed to restrain presidential powers on a range of dimensions. But as I mentioned, that was a time of a very weak Republican Party at the national level. So you had Democratic control of both houses of Congress, passing statutes that were going to limit particularly the kinds of abuses that Richard Nixon had just committed. What it would take now, at a time of near partisan parity, and this near partisan parity has been going on since about 1994, what it would take now would be such an overwhelming bipartisan consensus against the past actions of some particular president who had lost office, that it's very hard to see how it would happen.
Does that make you worried in our last minute and a half or so about presidential overreach in the future?
Yes, it does. I think that there have been vulnerabilities in the American constitutional system that the last 3 years have really highlighted. And the having those vulnerabilities exposed is useful in some ways. Now we know things that we didn't know. But what we know is the president can act in really sheer defiance of the other branches of government, and we don't have an institutional fix ready to hand for when he does so.
Jacob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Jacob Levy, the Tomlinson Professor of Political Theory at McGill University. He was with us today to talk about why he says impeachment doesn't work as it's intended under a two-party political system. You can still share your thoughts. Tweet us at Central Time WPR or email ideas at WPR.org. Do you think impeachment is enough, or do we need different mechanisms, different systems to keep presidents accountable? Tweet us at Central Time WPR.